Good Sunday morning. I'm not quite sure what Sunday this is, but I know it's in the month of October, and it's towards the middle of the month, and, you know, I am your host, Diamond Mills, and this week, again, I wanted to tell you some really, really unique experiences that I've had that just flat out, I guess, put a smile on my face. Because, first of all, I know that I'm different. Because this, earlier last week, I received an email telling me that, oh, I had a job interview within a company that would have offered me a clerical position, to which I thought it was a janitorial position. And let me explain this. Okay, I finally came to terms with the fact that I'm always going to be doing something of manual labor, and that I'm going to be all dressed up and looking beautiful just to turn around and sweat and wind up needing a shower halfway through the day and whatnot. And so then, because normally, okay, I found that everybody can do what they want, and I'm not really quite allowed to. Because just like I may have told you last week, that my oldest sibling and I, you know, my sister, she basically made it sound like that because everybody else around me is the boss, that they're allowed to be on their phone, they're allowed to do whatever they want, whenever they, quote-unquote, felt that they need to, because, oh, whether it's business or pleasure, both of my bosses, my uncle on the construction site, and my more or less former boss of the trash collection, and I'll explain that in a minute, they were always on their phone, because they would say, oh, it's business, and sometimes people would grab my trash collection boss and say, hey, let's shoot the breeze for a little bit. And that's all they would do, is that they would say, hey, you know, this is what I'm planning on doing this weekend, and what are you planning on doing this weekend? But then eventually he would realize that, oh, you know, we're working, so we need to keep moving, keep trucking along, and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we would do it. But then, for the past 2 weeks, I finally made the decision to just flat out tell my trash collection boss that, oh, I'm going to be working on the construction site, so, you know, you're going to need to find a replacement. And so, this last week, probably around Tuesday of this last week, my trash collection boss just simply texted me and said, hey, I know you're going to be busy on Friday, and so I already got someone who's going to replace you for this week, and all of that. And I had this job interview on Thursday afternoon, and essentially is what happens is that it brings me to a really, really unique point, that my boss, my uncle, and the self-informed, he's also kind of related to us, but he has been called by my uncle foreman at the job, you know, even though this guy doesn't know any more about construction. He's kind of learning as he's going just as much as I am. But I also happen to understand construction a little bit more. And I'm not jealous, I'm not mad, I'm not angry at the fact that this other guy is foreman. And because believe me, they have both yelled at me, they have both reamed me a new one, because I pretty much take on their problems. It's like if they were supposed to be doing something, or they didn't quite properly give me proper direction on how to do something at the moment, I would get reamed for it, and I'd go, okay, well, you know. And the funny thing is that I don't know whether I said this or not, but I tried to give my uncle a hard time, and he threw it in my face as if I was breaking every law in his book. And he wound up telling me, "Hey, you know, I don't have to hire you. I don't have to let you work here with me. But I am, because I'm the best boss you'll ever have." And so essentially is what I did was that I wound up flat out adapting to the situation and realized, well, okay, you know, people are gonna be the way they are around me. So I adapted and said, you know what? Whatever type of job that I'm gonna wind up doing, screw it. I'm just gonna do it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Never will I ever say no, ma'am, no, sir. Because I realized that because of my work ethic, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do it. Even if I'm scrubbing out the nastiest toilet I have ever smelled or seen, I will do it with a smile, and I will clean that toilet up so damn good to the point to where you could literally eat off of that toilet after I'm done cleaning it. And of course, nobody would actually eat off the toilet, but some people do, I guess. But anyway, my oldest sister and said, well, they're the boss, and so they're allowed to be on their phone. And I'm all, okay, I agree with you. And so then I asked her, completely out of the blue, I asked her while we were on the phone, I asked her, so sis, you know, what happens if you were the one in that spot? You were out mowing someone's lawn, you were cleaning someone's house, and you get a phone call for your next client. And I don't know whether she realized that she contradicted herself, but she did. She said, oh, I would answer my phone because it's my net, it could be another client, you know, waiting to hire me. And so then I thought, okay, so she's allowed to be on her phone if she was in my spot, but I'm not allowed to be on my phone because, oh, whoever I'm working for is my boss, and if they say stay off your phone, I have to stay off my phone. And so it's kind of a major catch-22, as they say. Doesn't matter to me anymore. But the really, I had a couple of really unique things happen to me this last week because, like I said, I went to the interview and I couldn't, because I had been placing applications and all of that, I kind of lost track of what company wanted to interview me for what position. And I kind of got into the whole mindset where, hey, if I'm going to be a janitor, hey, that's perfectly fine with me. I will work the most degrading jobs ever known to the man in order to pay my bills. And so then I went to this company, and the interviewer, she was an extremely wonderful person. I had to walk up a pair of stairs, which I had plenty of energy to do. And here's the thing is that I wore my red hair and my cat ears to this job interview. I made sure to wear a pair of nice jeans, and I threw on a nice blouse. And because it was cold and windy that day, I decided to wear one of my thicker leather jackets that I wear when it is cold outside. And it turns out that since all of the major countries around the world, everybody pretty much went into lockdown during the beginning of the pandemic, weather patterns shifted, changed, and where it should be cold, it gets cold, but it will stay cold for like a couple of days, and then it will become warm again, and that will stay for a couple of days, and so it's kind of hot and cold, cold and hot. And I understand weather patterns, even though I'm not a meteorologist. I understand the stars, but I'm not an astrophysicist. It doesn't matter. But here's the really, really, really funny thing, is that this interviewer, you know, I sat down and I crossed my legs as I always do when I sit down. And she said, "Wow, you know, you look really pretty today." And I said, "Well, thank you, thank you. I really love to express myself, and I kind of went in with the mindset that, you know what, I'm gonna be myself, the real me, regardless of what position I'm applying for, or interviewing for at this point." So is what wound up happening. Was she said, "Well, I was going to ask you a couple of questions, but I know the answer to them. I actually understand." Because in a lot of the past interviews that I've had within this year, they would always flip to the comments section of the application, which is pretty much, I would say it's either the cover letter, more or less, or comment. And she flipped to the final page of this, of the printed out application, and she said, "Diamond, what you wrote here in the cover letter comments section was pure poetry. It was beautiful. It was strong." And so I'm with a smile, I looked up at her and I said, "Well, could you kind of refresh my memory? Because I can't really remember what I wrote." But she didn't repeat it back to me or anything. She didn't hand it to me. She didn't read it. She just simply said that it was extremely powerful to her with what I typed in. And I'm all, "Oh, cool." Then she explained it was a clerical position, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I love people." Because I do. A lot of people cannot handle society, but I've always been able to handle society in a way that no matter how hard people have come down on me, I kind of hate myself for like 5 minutes, and then I turn around and say, "You know what, screw it. People are going to be mean, people are angry, and whatever." And so anyway, I tend to get very talkative and all of that. And so, you know, and I did get talkative, and I kind of learned that I put a lot of people off, you know, when I get to talking and stuff like that. But then all of a sudden I started to realize that, you know what, I've got to stop doing the one thing that I know is wrong. But here's the funny thing is that with the fact that I like to be talkative is not wrong. I've kind of learned that people find me annoying, whether they know me or not. People find me annoying because I talk. And I'm not trying to contradict myself here, but it's really, really funny because there are plenty of people in my life who tell me, lower your voice because you're talking too loud. Or just stop talking because you're annoying. And so I learned the most important thing in my life is that I will never stop talking loud. I will never stop being annoying because I've started to realize that I tell people a lot of things. I talk about myself in such a way that, not to put myself on a high pedestal, no, I talk about my life experiences because is what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to observe the person who is listening to the information that I am giving them because I want to see their reaction. I want to see, are they interested? Or are they sitting there going, oh, this person is so annoying. Why do they keep talking to me? Because I've realized that people, too many people, are stuck in their own world. And a lot of people are very comfortable in their own world. But anyway, everyone, I want to say thank you to my listeners, I should say. I'm going to go on a quick break and I will be right back with some more unique, juicy information. Okay. Anyways, what happened was that after I kind of talked to her, more or less, she finally said, okay, well, I've got to go. I've got to go to a meeting. And plus, I have a couple of more interviews to conduct. And so I just merely and very simply apologized and said, oh, I didn't mean to talk your ear off. That's just me. I'm a talker. And I never give excuses. Everybody says, oh, hey, I'm allowed to give you an excuse, but you're not allowed to give me an excuse. And so I tell people, I'm explaining something to you, and they still say, oh, you're giving me an excuse, and blah, 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 blah. So I take the hits and I move on. And I've never really fully dwelled on much of anything unless it impacted me in such a way that I kind of have to question the person's motives for coming down on me so hard. And eventually is what happened was I went to work on the construction site earlier that morning. And I showed up at 9, and earlier, about maybe I had to go up and put some blocks and backing up on the top of the sheeting walls, which is the exterior walls, and it's just to prevent the plywood sheeting, as it's called, from waffling out and buckling, and it provides a stable backing for it to stay flat and to provide a nice looking surface once the siding and everything else has been put on the exterior of the house. Anyway, once I got that done, the foreman pulled in with a pull behind cherry picker. And see, and I'm not allowed to post or talk about my uncle's or the foreman's mess ups. You know, if they screw up, they can take pictures or they can send a text or send a picture of their screw up to everyone, but I'm not allowed to do it. Because when the foreman nailed his air hose as we were trying to put the floor, the second floor sheeting down. He, you know, my uncle had moved the airline, and the foreman literally nailed the hose direct center, and it blew the hose. And so they were sitting there laughing about it. They took pictures, sent it to everybody. And so then I came back about a day or so later, and I said, oh, I showed the picture to so-and-so. And then all of a sudden, my uncle looked at me and said, no, 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 you do not show, you don't talk about our mess-ups to anybody else. And so I'm like, and so I got the message loud and clear that, oh, I take the heat when I mess up. I take the heat when someone else messes up and blames me. And I'm not allowed to laugh about my screw-ups. But everybody else is. And so I adapted, I moved on. And then, but like I said, he had brought, the foreman had brought this, you know, and it's only on a single axle, and it's the type of cherry picker where you have to kind of attach it to the vehicle and move it around as you go around the project to do whatever you're doing with the cherry picker itself. And essentially, this is the type of cherry picker where there's a control panel at the base, you know, and, you know, you put the key in, you turn it on, and then that way you can lower the outriggers, and you can move, move every part of the cherry picker itself to make sure that everything's working, and all of that, and then you have to turn the key to be able to provide full control over the bucket itself, so when whoever's in the bucket can control the cherry picker from there. And it literally took us about a half hour to figure out how to get full control up to the bucket where my uncle was in. And so then once we finally got that, because it turns out that the outriggers, that is what it does, is that it has sensors that will tell it, okay, we're on an uneven, it's on an uneven surface, so these so certain outriggers have to go down further to level out the base, because until that base is leveled, the bucket will not gain control, so whoever's in the bucket cannot gain control over the cherry picker rig. So anyway, once we finally got that running, we started getting, you know, we got two panels up at the very top of the walls up on the second level, and we were sitting there kind of playing with that. And then, and the wind was really massively cold, and it was pretty darn heavy. And, you know, those plywood sheets were still acting like sails. When the wind would hit them, it would push or pull, depending on what side you were on and all that. And so the first sheet he took up with him on the cherry picker, and because I had taken my tool belt off and set it down on the ground, he asked, oh, do you have your tape measure on you? And I said, no, it's on in my tools. And we were trying to secure it to the exterior studs on the exterior wall. And so he took the nail gun and just started hitting it, and he was missing left and right, but eventually he managed to hit a couple of studs and just enough to secure that piece of sheeting to the building. And so then he says, okay, go down and get another sheet. and just simply bring it up and we'll take it through the window here. And so I did that, and not only was I fighting the wind with the sheet, trying to get it up the ladder and trying to get it across the house to the window. But then, okay, we got the second sheeting on. I grabbed my tape measure, and we were doing it. He was still messing with the staples that we were using to secure the sheeting, what have you. Anyway, so he says, "Okay, I'm gonna cradle this, and we're gonna move it." So I run over to the ladder. I climb down, and I meet him at the base of the rig, and he's coming down with the cherry picker. But then he's having a little bit of trouble, and so he gets it to the point to where he's about a foot off from where the cherry picker itself needed to be in order to cradle it. And so he says, "Go ahead and transfer the controls down to the base, and get me cradled right." And all of a sudden, the machine just up and quits, stops. It stops working, it stops everything. And so then he's and I mean, the bucket was pretty dang close to the ground, but it, like I said, it was swung, the arm itself was swung out from its nesting area, about a foot. At any rate, no matter what he did, no matter what I did, we could not get even a spark from the cherry picker to move. And it wouldn't start, it wouldn't, it's like it shut down, and that was it. And so on. And I knew that I had my interview later that day, and so I went, so my uncle said, "Okay, go ahead and call the number on the base there, let him know what happened." And so everything kind of went to hell for a minute there, and the foreman had to go back into town to grab some stuff, and so it was just my uncle and I. And so we checked everything on the machine. We checked the battery, the fuel, everything. Anyway, and so finally it was around noon, and I finally told the foreman had returned. And I finally told my uncle, "Well, I've got a job interview that I've got to go to." And he says, "Okay, go. I'll see you in the morning." And so I go, and like I said, my face is almost frozen at this point. And the cold didn't really even bother me, and it's not really quite bothering me. But I had to hurry up and shave and get myself all ready for this interview. And so then I drove out there, and I literally got there just in time. And normally I'm always early for that kind of stuff. And anyway, neither here nor there at this point. But anyway, I am going to take another quick break, guys. Thank you so, so very much for listening in. All right, now, after the crazy event, okay, even though Friday morning, I get home Thursday night, as I spent a good portion of the rest of my Thursday in the other town where I had the interview. I came home, and then Friday morning, I text my uncle and said, "Hey, what time do you want me there?" Because I looked out from my own window, and I didn't see his truck on the construction site, because where I live and where the construction site is less than 2 minutes away from me. And so anyway, and so I text him, Finally, about 45 to an hour later, he finally texts me and says, "Oh, hey, I'm not there, and the foreman's not going to be there either." And so I wound up having a day off no matter what. And it threw me off my own usual schedule because normally I'm used to working Friday, irregardless whether it's trash collection or the construction. And so I headed into town that morning, and because, like I said, I was so used to working that I was so used to either going in the afternoon or early Saturday morning, and went and did all of that, blah 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 blah, and then all of a sudden, I kept on realizing, oh crap, it's Friday. It's not Saturday, it's Friday. And so I got all turned around. But anyway, there was one thing that happened to me yesterday, Saturday, that made me realize something that made me actually smile with, oh, sorry, baby. I kind of just hit my dog a little bit, kind of crushed his head a little bit between my arm and my stomach area. Sorry, baby. Anyway, I had gone to Walmart and I decided to go into the other entrance of Walmart into the grocery side, and ran into an older associate who I had made friends with, and she's this really, really wonderful young lady. Or she's a grandma, but she's a really wonderful young lady. And there were so many people who were entering and exiting that side of the store that some people gave me a compliment because of the way I looked, and some people gave me an odd look, and a lot of people just wouldn't look at me, period. Because here I was, red hair, cat ears, what have you. And everything, a lot of people felt awkward, and I wasn't trying to hide. But anyway, after about almost an hour talking with this such wonderful gal, I had to go and get some soy milk because I was literally on my last one at home, but every store in the area is completely out of it, and so I'm like, oh crap, But then I had to find an alternative, which I did, and I still have to go stock up on that at least until they can get stocked up with the regular soy milk. And so after I got home, I went and I sat there and realized that, okay, I do, and I don't mean to switch subjects on you completely at this point, but I'm going to. Is what happened was that I started thinking about how I would potentially meet a boyfriend or my future husband, whatever have you. And I started just kind of fantasizing, and next thing I know, I started fantasizing about something that quite literally put a smile on my face. And it made me realize just how much of a fantasy that I do have, that I would love to see become reality, more or less, parts of it scare me, and parts of it, but they scare me for a good reason. And so I was sitting there kind of creating different scenarios of how I would meet a boyfriend or a guy that would become my boyfriend, or how I would meet my future husband. It's not like I got other things to do sometimes. I mean, everybody wants to take time to fantasize about something that would happen to them, or how they would meet someone, or how they would meet them. However, you know, we all do it. Anyway, I fantasized that I had found a job and that I had met a guy that would wound up introducing me to my future husband. And because it's Halloween, I thought, you know what? Halloween doesn't mean much to me anymore, because during the month of October, a lot of stories and myths are told about mythological creatures, serial killers, haunted houses. But then all of a sudden, I quite literally realized yesterday that, wait a minute, it only happens maybe in September, but the whole month of October, all of a sudden, all of this stuff happens. And all of a sudden, all of the ghouls and the monsters and all of that come out to play for 1 month out of the year. Because soon after Halloween is Thanksgiving, and then Christmas and New Year's and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, I kind of shut myself down on that and realized, oh, you know, and I mean, there are several TV shows that show various groups of people ghost hunting and Bigfoot hunting and all of these mythological creature hunting, and I'm all sitting there going, these guys have nothing better to do, apparently. Whatever, but teach their own. I mean, if you enjoy watching those kind of shows, teach your own. I mean, I hope you enjoy them. I personally don't, because of how I view them, but that's just me. Anyway, I wanted to share with you a fantasy of mine that is extremely sexually active, that, and I know because I haven't talked about it in a couple of episodes, that I kind of realized that I came across a gentleman this last week that he was trying to flirt with me, even though he had a ring on his finger, and he did admit to having a wife and all of that, and he tried to invite me to dinner and all sorts of stuff, and I thought, well, you know, great. But then all of a sudden he says, who knows, if I get you alone, I could be a serial killer. And so I instinctively said the one thing that I knew would kind of get his confusion going or whatnot. And I told him, and I said, what are the odds that there are two serial killers talking to each other? And he's all, oh my God, touche. That's a good one, you know. And so then I got, like I said, when I got home and I started fantasizing about it, I started fantasizing about whether I had a boyfriend or a husband or not, that my boyfriend / husband would either surprise me or think that he was gonna get me by sending a guy to basically rape me. And so I kind of put myself through this scenario a couple of times over the weekend, and I thought, oh my God, that would be awesome if it happened, because I've learned to not be scared. I mean, I could act scared if need be, but I understand the psychology of it all. And so I look at it like, oh, hey, I'm going to enjoy this rather than... But anyway, like I said, that I would have my back to one of the doors. I'd either be cooking a meal or doing dishes. And the guy would come in and I would say, oh, welcome home, honey. You know, I'm making dinner right now, or I'm just doing the dishes, whatnot. But I wouldn't turn around and look. And then all of a sudden I would feel a gloved hand on my shoulder, and I would know that it wasn't my boyfriend / husband trying to say, and you know, and then all of a sudden I would hear this voice saying, if you don't want to die, don't do anything. And so then I would put myself, continue in the scenario and say, hey. And I finally came up with this really unique metaphor or whatever, you can call it whatever. But I would say to the guy, well, do you want to rape me before or after we eat dinner? And of course, I know that the guy would probably be confused, and so I would smile despite my back was turned to him, and I would say, "Oh, are you confused yet?" And it's not even about reverse psychology at this point. It is literally a fantasy. And so he would have possibly a big old hunting knife to my throat. And so then he would slowly tell me to turn around. Or tell me to slowly turn around, I should say. And he would keep the knife up to my neck. And he would say, give me your hands. And so I would coyly smile at him and happily give him my hands and tie them together. And then I imagined that I would say, oh, now that you have tied my wrists, you have to rape me. And I don't know what type of reaction I would literally get, but it's kind of fun to think about for me and all of that. And like I may have told you in another episode, that a lot of women, a lot of people in general, it turns out that they love when it's rough. A lot of people think that when they hear the word rape, that it's bad. It brings up terrible memories, and it does to a lot of people. But the thing is that I've kind of learned that, you know what, if I could find just a guy that is not married, that he's not in a serious relationship with anybody, that he would play with me on a sexual level, and we would go through, like, role play, and we would have fun with bondage and all sorts of stuff, and I kind of started to realize that I felt myself getting massively turned on by all of these really unique possibilities. And so I would jump in the shower, and not only to get myself clean, but then I would masturbate, and I would come up with all sorts of really unique scenarios that were based on sexual scenarios and all of that, and I would literally turn myself on by thinking about it, and like I said, I always did it in the shower because shitload easier to clean up than, you know, having a cum towel or an old shirt or whatever have you. And anyway, you know, I guess if anything, you know, I've kind of learned my own desires, my own fantasies, my own fetishes. I have learned so much about myself in that respect that I'm like, I know that men are assholes. I know that men are jerks. And then all of a sudden I realized that I was searching for the wrong type of guy. That I'm still not going to get with a married guy, and I'm still not going to get with a guy in a serious relationship. But because I now understand that guys are rough and tough, you know? That's what a guy is. Unless he's gay and, you know, what have you. To each their own. Anyway, essentially is what happened was I finally discovered a lot about myself this past week, and it wasn't even about coming out of my shell. I'm already out of my shell. And even though I don't fit in this farming community that I'm in, it still doesn't quite bother me, you know. And of course, I still get told by family and members of the community that, oh, you need to stop dressing up as a woman, and you need to get yourself a job and just work, you know. And I'm all, yeah, yes, yes, I agree with you, and then I still go my own way, and I guess if anything, sure, everybody discourages me and or whatnot, but then I started to realize that I was learning truth about my family history, and I was learning truth about why people treated me the way they did and why they do and blah, 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 blah. And I kind of look at my past and I go, huh, my life has been very, very fascinating to say the least. And I'm literally saying this, literally. Anyway, I know that a lot of you said, are probably, well, not said, but a lot of you are probably wondering what's going on in my sex life, and am I still sexually active, and major change the subject, but yes, I am, but I came across this unique meme on Facebook the other day that said the one great thing about being a woman is that women don't get boners in public, but men have to hide theirs because they do. And I kind of looked at that and I went, wait a minute, what about transgenders? What about someone like me? You know, I mean, even though I tuck my dick underneath me, you know, to make it look like a vagina in the area, I still kind of look at that like, wait a minute, If I get a boner, I'm still kind of in trouble because like, say I bend over to pick something up or that's on a lower shelf or what have you, and I happen to have a boner on at the time. Not only is getting a boner that's tucked under you, that kind of, it's not as embarrassing, but it's painful. It is excruciatingly painful because the penis, okay, is designed to grow up, you know, to grow up as it's growing. And it may grow out, but it mainly grows up at a steep angle. And anyway, when you have your dick tucked underneath you and the blood starts to flow into it because you're starting to get an erection or whatever have you, you start to, you know, because let's just say that the head of the penis as it grows starts to bulge out, but because of how close the head of the penis is to the anal region, when you go to bend over or whatnot, people will start to notice because people do notice. And I'm not paranoid about it. I really don't care. But it's just painful. It's painful because the penis is tucked in such a way that it's like trying to blow something up that when you laid it out that it's supposed to go erect, but it's not laid out properly, and so as the air fills it, you know, if you've ever filled up something that is an odd shape, you'll know what I'm talking about, regardless. But anyway, as I kind of thought about that meme a little bit, I'm all, yeah, women do have that ability to not get a boner because, one, they don't have a penis to get erect or what have you, obviously. And I find myself all the time getting an erection while I'm driving to somewhere, and then I'm like sitting there going, okay, Diamond, you need to think of something else because, oh, you're going to a job interview, or oh, you're about to go into a store and you got a hard-on tucked away underneath you, and not only is it painful, but yeah, you're right. At that point, it is embarrassing, but it's not the type of embarrassment that a lot of people get. I look at it as an embarrassment of, oh, crap, I got an erection, so I got a camel toe going on. And it's kind of funny to me, actually. And I've learned to not get embarrassed by crap because the way I've walked sometimes, depending on what shoes I'm wearing or boots, that sometimes I do focus a little too much on the way I'm walking, and sometimes I'll kick the pavement or the floor, and or I've dropped, or it's like when I'm checking out and using the self-checkout, and a bag of merchandise falls onto the floor. I still bend over and I still pick it up and all of that. And if I do get myself to a point where I do find myself getting embarrassed by something, the one thing that I do is laugh at myself. It's like a while back, I was putting fuel in my truck and I went to step back up over the hose to get to my door, my car door, and I think I was wearing high heels that day, and I went to try and step backwards up over the hose, and I wound up falling over into my truck, and not inside. You know, just on towards the back there. And so I sat there and I kind of tipped my head back and I smiled and laughed at myself. And because I know that my red hair gets me attention and I know my cat ears gets me attention, I have made the decision that whenever I do something stupid, if I'm a klutz or whatever, I've decided just to sit there and laugh at myself because of that. And I don't even go red because I'm embarrassed. No, I've learned, you know what? People mess up. And I know that I do. And I do talk to myself when I'm shopping because it's not like anybody else wants to hang out with me, so it's not that big of a deal to me. Anyway, I've kind of discovered that between my sexual fantasies, between coming out of my shell, between my appearance, between, you know, becoming a klutz more, a little bit more and more every week, or day, hour, minute, second, whatever, that I've kind of learned that, you know what, I am not going to back off being loud. I'm not going to back off being annoying because I've learned that people are going to accuse me of all sorts of shit anyway. So, you know, it's me, it's who I am. And I'm not going to change to make people feel any less awkward around me than they would because even when I'm in male mode, I used to still create awkwardness with people who had no idea who I was. But that's the whole point. And you know what, the way I see it is, I've come out of my shell in such a way that I do me, and I'm not trying to be anything more than an inspiration to anyone around me. I look the way I do because it's self-expression. And a lot of people always kind of look at me like, how could your parents even let you outside the front door looking that way? So, because I also wear my black, shiny, patent leather go-go boots a lot. And, yeah, you know, I wear leather and what have you, and it is what it is. So I'm going to go ahead and end this particular episode, and I will try to bring you more sexually charged episodes in the future. But, you know, I'm trying, you know. I guess if anything, you know, I'm going through a lot of transitioning, and I'm just simply, I'll bring you more unique fantasies. So, to all of my listeners, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Honestly, I want to say thank you to you guys, because you guys are awesome. You guys are taking the time to listen to me babble on about whatever's going on. And I so appreciate it. You know, you guys are fantastic. And I really do appreciate you. And I did. I have appreciated you, and I will continue to appreciate you, because it's a podcast, and I may start doing video work, you know, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and you will be able to find me, because I will be under my name, Diamond Mills. And so, to all of my listeners out there, thank you so much, and I hope you all have a really, really fantastic week. Keep your head up, keep a smile on your face, and just know that you can conquer anything, that even if you're having a bad day, smile. Conquer it, and you'll feel a lot better. So, you all have a great, great week. And I'll talk to you later.